the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income, a very, very important show.
And I'm John Loeffler, and that important show revolves around the enrollment period for Medicare. It begins October 15th of this year. That's coming up next month, and it runs to December 7th. Each year, the government allows people to qualify to enroll in Parts A and B of Medicare without regard to pre-existing conditions. And so it's important that you pay attention to this and what this means.
And it is really important because, John, there's a couple things I want to talk about with our listeners. Is if you are retired and you are age 65, if you don't enroll in Medicare within a 12-month period of time, you will have your premiums go up by 10%. And so what happens is every year they have an open enrollment period. It begins this year, October 15th. And will run till December 7th of this year. Now, that enables you to enroll for Parts A and B without worrying about qualifying because of, let's say, a pre-existing condition. The other thing that you need to know is your time frame to enroll in Medicare begins 3 months before your 65th birthday, includes the month of your birthday, and 3 months afterwards. So let's say your birthday was in September, you could start enrolling in Medicare in June, the 3 months before September, the month of September, and then you would have to the end of the year, the 3 month period to enroll. And it's really important. In fact, Medicare will send out your card 3 months before your 65th birthday. And it's really important that you do this. And if you skip it, now, let me point out, if you are working at a company, let's say you're 65 years of age, you're working for a company, and that company has a medical program which you're covered under, this does not apply to you. As long as you have a job with medical coverage, you do not have to sign up for Medicare. But if you do retire, then you have to take a look at that enrollment period. Or if you retire at age 65, you have a 7 month window, 3 months before the month of your birthday and 3 months after. So, John, I just want to point that out, that there's some very important dates. So if you missed it, this enrollment period is coming up here, and that's going to begin October 15th. It'll run till December 7th, which is why if you need to enroll, you want to do it now when that begins next month and do it online, which is the quickest way to do it.
Okay, well, Jim, you're talking about Parts A and B, but there's also Part C and D to Medicare as well.
Yeah, Part C is the Medicare Advantage program that deals with, you know, whether you're going through an HMO that you choose or a PPO, and that gets a little bit more complicated. We're not going to have time to cover that today. And then Part D, which covers prescription drugs, which was added under George W. Bush. But the thing that you need to understand is if you enroll in Medicare, if you come out of the private sector, you're enrolling in a system that does not cover, it only covers about 60% of the cost. And so in addition to your Medicare, you're also going to need to choose, and we'll get into some of the better ones, a Medigap insurance policy that will pick up the things that Medicare doesn't cover. And we'll get in some of that detail. But the thing you have to understand is Medicare is not going to cover a lot of your medical expenses, your doctor visits. And so that's why most people have some kind of Medicare supplemental insurance, because you really need it. And the amount that Medicare is covering is getting less and less, because what the government has been doing to try to save money is they'll go to a doctor and they'll say, well, I know the office visit is $100, but you know what? Under Medicare, we're only going to give you $30. Well, you know, the doctor's got expenses, he's got nurses, he's got overhead. A lot of doctors are saying, you know what? We need to be compensated for that. And one of the ways that that happens is either you come up with out-of-pocket money yourself, or it's covered with a Medigap insurance policy.
You know, and that's one of the big misunderstandings, Jim, is that people think that Medicare covers everything. It's not. Most people have supplemental insurance to that.
Medicare premiums, if you take what you're actually paying for your premium as a senior, if you're on Medicare, it only covers about 42% of the average out-of-pocket cost. I mean, there's so many things that Medicare doesn't cover. In fact, there was a report that was done that said of the remaining 58% of average total out-of-pocket spending on services, here's a key, folks, long-term facility costs are the largest component. And so we've often talked here on the program, the average couple will spend $250,000 of out-of-pocket expenses in their retirement. That does not include long-term care facilities, which can run $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 a month. So it gets to be very expensive. Now, here's the thing about Medicare. Part A, which is hospital coverage, is provided automatically, free premiums. You don't have to pay that. And that happens. You're signed up automatically with that. And the part that you're going to pay. Now, Part A, as I mentioned, provides hospital care. It's free of premiums to the beneficiary. And it basically covers the things of staying in a hospital, services that come out of the hospital. And this is what you paid for when you were working, paying into the Social Security system. You paid part of your FICA taxes, 2.9%. was going towards your healthcare premiums and your Medicare premiums. So part of what you've already paid for this, and that's Part A, that's hospital. But of course, as you know, it's not just hospital, and it covers a number of things out of the hospital. And let me just kind of go over what Part A covers. It covers blood. In most cases, the hospital gets the blood from a blood bank at no charge. It covers your hospital stay, inpatient stays. It covers skilled nursing facilities. Let's say you have a stroke or something and you have to go into skilled nursing care. It'll cover 30 days generally of that. It will also cover home health care services, part-time or intermittent nursing care, physical therapy, speech, language. It covers hospice cares for 6 months or less. The hospice care, however, doesn't include room and board. That's extra. And a Medicare-approved facility for a hospital. So Part A, a component, is the benefit period, which starts when you first enter a hospital and ends when there has been a break of at least 60 consecutive days. Inpatient hospital or skilled nursing care was provided. There is no limit to the number of benefit periods covered by Part A during your lifetime. However, inpatient hospital care is normally limited to 90 days during a benefit period. You can have multiple benefit periods, but if you get some kind of illness and you go into a hospital beyond 90 days, then you better hope you have some kind of Medigap insurance to cover the difference. In hospital services, it covers bed and board, meals, nursing, drugs, biologicals, diagnostic, therapeutic equipment, respiratory inhalation. It covers things like lab tests that you're going to have, dental services. But what it does not pay, this comes out to be services for a physician and surgeon, pathologist, private duty nurses. It also doesn't cover the first 3 pints of whole blood in a 12-month calendar year. So there are a lot of things that doesn't cost. Now, under Part A, hospital insurance, there's a deductible amount that must be paid by the beneficiary. And then there's also various other medical deductions. There's a whole list of stuff. Like anything else from the government, there are exceptions and rules, and there's a lot of them. So that's Part A. Now, Part B is what you pay for physician care. And that is really when you get your Medicare premium, that is what your premium goes for. That's for your doctor's stay. And unfortunately, those costs are going to be going up. And especially if you make over $85,000 a year.
Now, Jim, as I understand it, there's supposed to be a major increase in Medicare premiums right after the election. Funny that.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to hit next year. And depending on your income, next year, Medicare premiums will be $121.80. That's if you are making $85,000 or less, or $170,000 if you are filing a joint return. And if you make over $85,000 and up, those Medicare premiums start to go up from $121 to $389.90. And next year, if you're one of the 30 percenters, those are people that make over $85,000, you could see your Medicare premiums go up by 20%. 3%. So the higher income, you're going to start paying more. And that came into effect not with Obamacare. That actually came in with Medicare Part D when it was introduced by George W. Bush. Everybody used to pay the same Medicare premium. And then when they added Part D, they started going to tiered payments based on your income. And those tiered payments can go up rather significantly. They can almost be 3.5 times what they are for an average Medicare recipient. In other words, the 70% that make below $85,000. So the higher income that you make, you could end up paying 30% more next year when they increase those premiums, when they're going to go from 104 to 121. And so there are a lot of things that Part B cover, just like you have in a regular health insurance policy. But it's really important that you understand what is covered under Medicare policy, especially if you've worked in the private sector and had an employer paid program. So we had to just cover here some of the things that Medicare is going to pay for and some of the things that they're not going to pay for. Typical things that Part B pays for: outpatient hospital services. The Medicare beneficiary pays 20% of the Medicare approved amount for the doctor's services. This is another good reason why you want to have Medigap insurance. Pap tests, pelvic exams, physical exams, other things they cover, physical therapy, pneumococcal pneumonia, prescription drugs, prostate cancer screenings, prosthetics, pulmonary rehab, second surgical opinions, smoking cessation, speech therapy, dressing, telehealth services, x-rays, MRIs, CT scans, EKGs, transplants and the drugs that go along with it, and travel, healthcare needed when traveling outside the United States. So let's say if you're overseas, and we'll get into that when we get into Medigap insurance. But types of service not covered as any kind of policy: long-term care, dental care, dentures, cosmetic surgery, acupuncture, hearing aids. Can you imagine, John, if they covered cosmetic surgery? We'd never look aged, wouldn't we? We'd all be going to plastic surgeons. Exams for fitting for hearing aids. So these are just some of the things that you want to be made aware of in terms of Part B, because these are the things. A Medicare policy is going to be a little bit different than what you had, let's say, in the private sector, or if you worked for the government, where pretty much everything was covered. It's going to be a little bit different when you get into Medicare. And there are things that they aren't covered. And what's important is what the government has done with doctors. I don't care if it's operations, if it's drugs. There's certain things that Medicare is going to cover up to a certain limit. And then after that, somebody else has to pay for it. So it's going to be either you or your Medigap insurance. And that's why we're going to spend a little bit more time in covering Medigap insurance today, because there's plans from A all the way up to the letter P. There's so many of them out there, and each plan is a little bit different. But here's the thing I want you to understand. If you missed the enrollment period and you're within that 12-month period, now's the time to get ready for that, and it'll begin October 15th. So as long as you register within a 12-month period, within turning 65, you won't get hit with that 10% increase in premium. And remember, those premiums are going up next year. And if you are one of those fortunate ones to make over $85,000, and your Medicare premiums are going to be close to $400. You don't want to get hit with the 10% penalty. So once again, if there's anything I can impress upon you, is you need to get into this enrollment period, especially if you just turned 65. You've got a 7-month window, as I said, 3 months before your birthday month and 3 months after. And if you didn't register within the time you turned 65 and you're still within that 12-month period, boy, it's really important that you get registered starting October 15th on the website, because otherwise you're going to get hit with a 10% penalty, and that's permanent. So you will automatically be paying 10% more than you should normally pay. So if I can stress anything, be aware of these dates.
Let's talk a bit, Jim, about Medicare Advantage, if we could.
Basically, it's another form of Medicare. A lot of people like it because it allows a lot more flexibility. It allows you to choose like your own HMO or your own PPO, like you had, let's say, if you were covered by let's say, a corporate plan when you were in the private sector. It varies, John, by state. So that's why we have 50 states. It's different in every state. But as a result of Obamacare, they're increasingly taking money away from allocation to Advantage because they're going to be phasing. It looks like the trend as a result of Obamacare is to phase out Medicare Advantage because they're increasingly going to be taking money out of that system. Basically, they're going to eventually probably get rid of it because there's just not going to be the money because Obamacare right now is already draining the system. And those costs are going to go up significantly starting next year and in 2018. So check with a qualified person. Like, for example, if you're going to buy your Medigap insurance, you want to talk to that person about the Medicare Advantage plans that are available in your state because they all are different. It isn't universal like Medicare A and B. The Advantage plan varies by each state depending on the healthcare carriers that they have available in the state and the number of HMOs that they have. So that's something you want to really discuss with your advisor before you consider it. A lot of people like it because it's a lot more flexible than the regular Medicare program.
Okay, and Part D now that came in during the George W. Bush administration.
Yeah, that will also increase your premium. There's additional premium in addition to the premium that you normally pay for Part B. If you choose drug prescription, which is Part D, there's an additional premium for that. There's also a yearly deductible and a co-payment or co-insurance, and this is something you're going to want. If you do get Part D, you're going to want to have that coverage because there are deductibles and they only pay a certain percentage. So you're going to want that coverage when you come to choosing your Medicare plan. So your Medigap policy is really important. And there's so many of them out there. They're lettered by, instead of plan 1, 2, 3, they go by the alphabet. And so there's plans A all the way up to MNOP. So it's almost like, you know, at the rate they're going, they'll probably have the entire alphabet. So you really need to be aware of what these different plans cover because you are, folks, going to need a Medigap supplemental insurance policy because it does not cover everything. And you don't want to be forking that kind of stuff out of your own pocket because it can get cost prohibitive.
All right, Jim, so we have a series of different plans here that are available. How do you tell which one is more favorable to you or which people tend to like more?
We're probably going to cover the most widely used plans from A to N. The most widely used plans are probably F is the most popular because of its coverage. Second is Plan C. And the thing most valued by beneficiaries, 29%, it's really important that allows you to see the doctor of your choice. And remember, this is an advantage because under Obamacare, not everybody in the private sector gets to keep their plan or get to see their doctor. So if you have a particular doctor that you like going to and you want to see, that's very important that your Medigap benefit includes that. A second highly regarded benefit, it covers hospital expenses not covered by Medicare because folks, you go in the hospital, Part A, yes, does cover that, but they don't cover all those expenses and there's huge deductibles. Third most popular benefit is it covers physician expenses not covered by Medicare. So if your doctor does something, a procedure or something, it's not covered by Medicare, your Medigap insurance covers, and then everything else is incidental. But those are the big three. Number one is allowing you to see the doctor of your choice. Number two, covers those hospital expenses. And folks, you know, if you've ever had to stay in a hospital, I don't need to tell you what those expenses can mount up to. And number three, the kind of expenses that Medicare will not cover with your doctor. And so, I mean, there's all kinds of plans. I mean, the basic plan is Medigap Plan A. We'll start with that. It covers coverage of Part A coinsurance, which is $315 per day in 2015 for the 61st through the 90th day of hospitalization. Remember, first 60 days are covered. Coverage for Part A coinsurance, that's $600 a day. It covers the non-renewable lifetime hospital inpatient care. It also covers hospital benefits after they're exhausted. Remember that 90-day period. Coverage for 100% of eligible hospital expenses. Coverage under Medicare Parts A and B. First 3 pints of blood and 20% of Medicare-approved amount after the deductible, except and outpatient services. I mean, that's the basic plan. The other plan covers Plan C, which is probably the second most popular. It covers Medicare Part A inpatient hospital deductibles. That's $1,260. Coverage for skilled nursing facility coinsurance, which is $157.50 a day for days 21 through 100. Coverage for Medicare Part B deductible, $147. That's going up next year. 80% coverage for medically necessary emergency care in a foreign country after a $250 deductible. That's important. If you're retired and you're doing a lot of traveling overseas, what happens? Something happens overseas. You want to make sure you have that coverage. Now, the one that everybody really chooses, and it's really the Cadillac of the Medigap plans, it's called the Medigap Plan F. It's coverage, and this is why everybody likes it. Coverage for Medicare Part A, the inpatient hospital deductible, that's the $1,260. Skilled nursing facility care, days 21 through 100, the $157.50. Coverage for the Part B deductible, $147. 80% for the medically necessary emergency care in a foreign country. 100% of Medicare Part B excess charges. It also offers significant benefits beyond B, C, D, and E, because it's 100% of what a doctor actually charges above a Medicare-approved plan. Because remember, you go see a doctor, he does some kind of procedure, it's a visit, or he's doing something inside his office. Medicare may not pay him for what that procedure is. And with the Plan F, whatever the doctor charges you, they will pick up that cost. And this is one of the reasons this plan has become so popular. Also, it covers 55% of those who have purchased a Medigap policy. It's by far the most widely chosen plan because of all these things. One area in particular that Medicare Plan F does not cover is for hospice care coinsurance or copayment. And it also covers cost overseas. So this is probably, John, one of the most widely covered plans. And so the one thing that you're really going to want to do when you, before you sit down and register, I highly recommend you contact an advisor or somebody that really knows about this so you can choose the right options that are going to fit your budget, the right options to fit your own health, and also the right insurance coverage, because you could end up forking over a lot of money. So you want to make sure you get the right kind of coverage. And don't forget those enrollment dates, which begin as soon as October 15th, beginning next month. And especially if you missed the enrollment period the last time and you're still within that 12-month window, this is a way that you can avoid that 10% premium that will be added on permanently to your Medicare premiums. And remember, that will be with you the rest of your life. And don't forget, Medicare premiums are going up next year, along with insurance premiums. And depending on your income, you could end up seeing a 23% increase. So very important things that you want to take care of in advance to make sure that you're not hit with this or that 10% penalty.
It's time for our weekly case study here, which of course is based on real world actualities. We changed the names of the people to protect their privacy. And for those of you who are listening on your computer, we'd like to remind you that we do have the frames, the slides that go along with this case study available on the website along with the podcast link so that you can actually view the numbers that we're discussing.
Also, John, it's embedded in the podcast link, so you can just click on that and you can follow along. This week, we're going to talk about Tracy Sims. She is 64. She plans on retiring at age 65. Given her health and family history, life expectancy is age 95. Folks, you know, one of the things that we have seen, I'm sure you've seen it with your friends, is in the 20th century, we've added about 2 years to life expectancy every decade. And so I was reading an interesting statistic in a book I read, and they were talking about kids that are born today. If you're a mother expecting to have a child, that child has a 50% chance of living to age 104. And I have clients in a retirement home here, in 10% of the population in that retirement home are centenarians. So this age 95, we're seeing more and more of this. Anyway, her risk tolerance was moderately conservative. Her investment objectives, like many people, retired, income and preservation of capital. Tracy is a project manager. Here are a couple of things that she was nervous about planning for retirement. She's concerned, like many people, on her ability, since she is divorced and will be supporting herself in trying to live the lifestyle she has hoped for. Tracy is also concerned about her health care costs, since she has a long life expectancy. Her mother lived into her 90s. Her father lived into her 90s, and given her health condition, who knows, maybe she'll live to be 100 with the advances in medicine. What was important to Tracy, number one, was managing her expenses in retirement. She wanted to maintain her lifestyle. Obviously, her expenses in retirement, as you'll see, will be a little bit different. She wanted to maximize her retirement income. And very important, she wanted to make sure that she could afford increasing cost of health care and creating some kind of a legacy that she'd like to leave to her children. Her basic budget was $42,000, discretionary spending $25,000. So her budget was $67,000, not any problem. She had a $93,000 salary. Surplus was $26,000. She was saving a lot of money personally, but of course, obviously, when you retire, budget is going to be a little different. Income's going to be a little different. Her essential budget in retirement would be $36,000. That's basically a drop of roughly about $6,000. Her discretionary spending, $12,000. She said, look, I'm not going to be eating out like I do now. So it'd be $48,000. Her Social Security and pension would be $28,000. So basically a $20,000 shortfall that would have to be made up from investments. Her house was valued roughly almost $500,000, $460,000, of which there were liabilities of a mortgage of $156,000. It was actually a townhouse. Tracy's retirement in her 401k was $590,000. Her trust income of personal savings was $170,000, and she had roughly about $80,000 in cash in the bank. So roughly about $840,000 of investment income outside a small pension and Social Security. Total assets of $1,003,000. Basically, the things that we were looking at trying to solve in her plan: long life expectancy, managing expenses in retirement because she wasn't going to have the surplus once she retired, creating an estate plan, and updating, coming up with an investment plan. So we started out with basically Social Security, which was 28. Her retirement was $590,000. We put her in a balanced account of bonds and dividends that would produce roughly a little over $18,000 a year. And because of her tax bracket, we put $170,000 in dividend payers and munis, because dividends were taxed at 15% in her bracket, and the tax freeze would be tax free. So that way would keep her investment income down to a minimum. Her investments would produce $22,000, almost $23,000 of income. Her total income would be almost $51,000, less a budget of $45,000. That would create a surplus of $5,500. Now, what we did is we told her she needed to enroll in Medicare Parts A and B when she fully retired. And she would also benefit from the hold harmless provision for Part B. In other words, she will not be subject to the 30% of people that make over $85,000 that will see a 23% increase next year. So that will help control her medical costs. We also recommended a Medicare Supplemental Plan F for her that she could go to, and also that she would enroll in Part D. Managing expenses by enrolling in Medicare was encouraged to stick to her budget. We reallocated the investments in her plan to provide the income and stability that she wanted, roughly getting close to a combination of 3% yield between dividends and bonds. And then we also updated her estate plan because she got a divorce 4 or 5 years ago. Now, as a single individual, like many women on their own singly, she was really concerned, can I make it on my own? And we showed her through Medigap and also taking a look at what her income was going to be that she would be able to afford it. But that's this week's study. You can follow this case study. We have provided slides and an embedded link to this podcast, and you can follow along.
And a reminder that our guest on the program tomorrow, Lifetime Income, is going to be David Stein. The subject, again, Medicare. We'll be getting into more detail of this. Remember that the window is coming up October 15th to December 7th. So important you take some action there.
Well, that concludes this week's Lifetime Income. Hope you enjoyed. And folks, please do yourself a favor. If you're turning 65 or you missed the enrollment period last time around, Don't forget those dates again, October 15th to December 7th. In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.